As usual, it's an honor, dare we say a pleasure, to meet back here, same time, same place, many same faces. And you'll forgive me for the lack of greeting each one of you due to the halachot of the day where we don't greet each other. But hopefully our hearts are together as we learn a little bit about the spies, Moshe's report, the people. You know, in Pardes, they're very organized, they're very yekish, so we have to give these pages in a long time ago. You have to decide what you're going to speak about. I think it's around Hanukkah, we're asked. We're going to speak about Mashu Kazeh. And in the past month, I've realized how relevant the subject that we're going to speak about today is, and just what a message we've had to teach us what it is that we're going to learn together. So that's my sikkum. Last week's parasha, every single year before Tisha B'Av, we read the same parasha, and after Tisha B'Av, we read the same parasha. So we're going to look at one verse from last week's Torah reading, from Devarim, and one verse from Va'et Hanan, which we're going to read Bezrat Hashem this Shabbat. V'tikrevun elai kulechem, says Moshe. We're about to go into Israel, you remember? Sefer Devarim takes place entirely on the banks of the river as they're about to go into Israel. It's Moshe's last final speech as they're about to go in. And he recalls what happened when we came out of Egypt. He goes way back. V'tikrevun alai kulchem, he says, remembering the spies. That was the beginning of the mourning that we have today. V'tikrevun alai kulchem, you all drew close to me. V'tomru, and you said, nishlecha anashim lefaneinu. Let us send out people before us. V'yachperu lanu et haaretz. They will, literally means they will dig under the ground. But we translate it as they will check out the ground. V'yashivu otanu davan. They'll bring us back a report. Et haderech asher na'aleba. The way will go up. V'ta'arim asher navo lehem. And the cities that we will encounter. Moshe's report seems very nice. As we were about to go in, you all came, all of you came, and said, en masse, let's send in people to check it out. We're about to go into a new land. Let's check it out. Let's see what we have there. Not only what is there, but what is the best way that we will go in? What's the best route? We need to, they didn't have ways in those days, so we need people to tell us, you turn here, you go right, you go left, you'll get there. What is the way we're going to come in? So the verse seems to be, on first look, first brush, a good thing, good idea. That's last week's parsha. In Va'et Hanan, we have a similar idea. We'll see in a moment how Rashi brings them together. Also about the people coming close, at a different circumstance. Vayhi kishamachem et kol mitoch achoshech. Vahar bo'er ba'esh. V'tikravun elai kol roshei shifteichem v'ziknechem. And when you heard the voice within the darkness, the Jewish people hear God's presence. They see God on Har Sinai. And it was awesome. It was frightening. They were afraid. Mitoch ha-choshech, v'har bo'er ba'esh, and the mountain was on fire. It was this incredibly graphic, this revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Holy One, blessed be He. V'tikrevun alai, and you drew close to me. kol roshei shifteichem v'ziknechem, the heads of the tribes and your elders. So in two verses that are divided by Tisha B'Av, we read twice that the people drew close to Moshe. V'tikrevun elai kulchem, when you sent out spies. V'tikrevun elai kol roshei shifteichem v'ziknechem at Har Sinai, both of them drew close to Moshe. And the question is going to be today, what is the difference between the verse that appears in Devarim, the first chapter, and the verse that appears in Devarim in the fifth chapter? Okay, so you're going to take out 2 minutes to think about that in your Chavruta. Okay, so grab the person next to you, maybe not literally, but speak to them. And think about what is the difference between those two verses, taking into account the circumstance. Okay, you got the idea? Okay. Okay. Beautiful. Somebody have a suggestion? What's the difference between the two verses? That's what you were supposed to be discussing, but everybody looked to have that good time. So yeah, it's the brown. Kulchem, meaning? Oh, so that's good or bad? That would be good. Kulchem is good. Yeah.
The first verse is
Kulchem. Yeah.
The second
one is
the leaders of the Kahal came.
Right.
Called to come.
Right.
And in the first one,
so in the first case, everybody came, and in the second one, only the leaders came. That's good or bad? That everybody came. Why is it bad? It's like a mob. Okay. Oh, all come together with, they had a unity. That a unity was, let's all send spies. That was a unity. That's good. Yeah, yeah. Ah. All right, so you've agreed that that's what we're going to see in a moment. But that's not actually written in the verse. It's very interesting. It's very true that that's a great idea, and I like your midrash, and Rashi agrees with your midrash, or you agree with Rashi, whichever way we look at it. But she said that they have a hierarchy. They came to the leaders and sent the leaders. But that word kulchem seems to be different. Yeah, someone here wanted to say? Yeah.
They are also the
Uh-huh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Right. But they just came because they felt that that was what they needed to do. Right? Okay. It's not in response. Ever heard that? Second verse is a response. First verse is not. Yeah, you want to say something? I appreciate it. Yeah. Okay. There is, okay. So that's like you. So it's connected to their response. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Right.
In one case, they have a suggestion as to how to confront their fear. In the second case, they just seem to be...
Wow, what's going on? Okay. So if we learn that, and I think a lot of... there's a sort of consensus that maybe Kulchem in some way is better. Yeah.
I think we have both. Yeah.
Of course. Right. Exactly. Right. Let's see where we're going. Right. We have hindsight. Yeah. Not only you. I think all Jews are good at hindsight. Maybe the world. Why is what? Jewish women, right? Yes. Right. They're telling, and all right. So what we've understand, and I appreciate your comment about hindsight, is that it's very informative, and almost imperative, that when we read verses, we cut away a lot of the context that we know already. Moshe is relating to them as though they don't know. Now we have to remember that there are a large percentage of the populace that he's addressing were not there when the spies were sent. So he's actually telling something that maybe they don't really know the details about. And what's indicative and what's interesting isn't the end product that we know, but the way Moshe describes it. Kulchem. But then we hear there's a little negative, amru, you demand, you're not asking, you're telling. But kulchem seems to be a good thing. And is very nice, but if we would think about it, we could explain that at Matan Torah, the populace were not at all connected. They were actually, the back chatting. Sometimes I go to a chuppah. I really don't like that. You go to a chuppah, and there's a chuppahs up here, and the rabbis are very busy, and the populace are sitting around talking and smoking and drinking. And you feel, wait, this isn't what should be happening. Kriyat Torah, Rav Soloveitchik says, is a little bit of a reenactment of Matan Torah. If at Kriyat Torah, the Bal Koreh and the Rabbi and the Ole are listening and everybody else is talking, that's not good. It should be that everybody should be focused on Kriyat Torah. Come to our shul, that's what it's like. Right? Right, that we can say. So, what is Moshe Rabbeinu telling them? And Rashi comes with a very surprising, but it related to what you said, a very surprising perush, if we think about it, of the word kulchem. You all came. You came together en masse. We agreed. When was the only time that the Jewish people agreed on anything, remember? What? Har Sinai? Vayichan ke'ish echad belev echad. They came as one person. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, there, that was only really the leaders. You know where we really agreed on the together? Was when we sent out the spies. So now I have a really bad question. Why are we mourning that? Why is that the beginning of the tragedy? Why is that the forerunner of destruction of Temple 1 and Temple 2 and Beitar? And why is that? When the Mishnah says that five things happened to our forefathers on Tisha B'Av, and the first thing is the spies report, that's a leader into the other things. It not just happened to be that these things happened to happen on the same day, but that there's a connection. So what's going on? That leaves Rashi to his Pirush. Let's see Rashi. V'tikrevun alai kulchem, says Rashi, be'irbuvia, and a jumble, like you said, in a mass. What was it? In a mob. I like that word. But later on it says, v'tikravun alai kol roshei shifteichem v'ziknechem v'tomrun. But later on it says, you draw towards me the heads of your tribes and elders. Otakriva haita hogenit. That one that we're going to read this coming Shabbat, Matan Torah, was appropriate. What does it mean is appropriate? Yeladim mechabdim et azkenim, v'shilchum lifneihem, uzkenim mechabdim et harashim, lalechet lifneihem. That the children respected their elders, and they sent them before them, like you said, the hierarchy. And the elders respected the leaders to go before them. That was appropriate. That's Matan Torah. But in this case, Aval Kan, in this case, in sending out the spies, V'tikravai alai kulchem be'irbuvia, Yeladim dochfim et azkenim, uzkenim dochfim et harashim. The children pushing the elders pushing the leaders as a mob, as an unpleasant event that everybody's pushing each other. You came kulchem. There was no respect for leadership. There was no respect for the elders. And even the elders didn't respect the leaders. And so there was a big, as you say, a mob, a crush that you came together. That's v'tikrevun alai kulchem. Yes, sir. Beautiful. We're going to come back to you, Mark. I'm going to come back to your point towards the end. So that is the beginning of the destruction. It wasn't even the spies. You know what? You're right. The spies had a good idea. The idea to send in people to know how to overcome the nations that lived here, to send in already spies, wasn't such a terrible idea. But when Moshe Rabbeinu, and this does not appear in Parshat Shlach, but when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to say what happened, when he comes to teach the people as they're about to go into Israel, to maybe do a tikkun, to maybe rectify what the problem was when they sent the spies, he uses the word kulchem, which Rashi translates means as a throng, in a thrust, in a mob, in a riot, to say that's the problem. The problem was there was no sense of hierarchy, there was no sense of respect. There was no ability, as you said, to listen to each other. No? Okay. Pachad? But Aishi is pachad. There's definitely fear in both of them. But the Rashi comes to stress that fear can make us unified. But sometimes unity for bad things isn't a good thing. But this was a very strange sense of coming together. Is that we came together, we pushed each other. I want to speak, I want to see, I want to be there, I want to... Sounds a little bit like, the Knesset? Yeah. Isn't there today a temnis avim kulchem, roshechem, shifteichem, ziknechem, beshidrehem, shovei meimechad, shovei, right? That's what it says there. Oh, that's what Rashi explains. And we don't have to explain Rashi's explanation. But what's interesting is that Rashi does say that. Now, where does the Rashi get that from? I think he gets it from because he knows the hindsight. He knows that that Moshe wants to say this is a negative thing. Kulchem isn't necessarily bad. In this case, it is. What happened? They pushed. They didn't listen. They were not. There was no respect for those who were in places of authority. There's a fascinating Mishnah in Masechet Sota on the second page. Be'ikvod Meshicha, says the Mishnah. Be'ikvod Meshicha, the mem has it, is a mistake. Chutzpah Yizke. In the dawn of the Messianic era, there will be great, how do you translate chutzpah? Chutzpah, I don't know what it is. Audacity, ghoul. Chutzpah is a good thing or a bad thing? What? On what? So let's look at this chutzpah. And the Mishnah explains, Ve'yoke ya'amir. All will be expensive. Things, the prices are going to go up. But ha'gefen detain piriya v'hayayin b'yokir. It's not that there won't be resources. The vine will give fruit, yet wine will be expensive. There'll be plenty, but we won't be able to distribute it well. That's chutzpah. Having, but not being able to distribute it. V'hamalchut te'afech leminut. There will be a leadership, but the leadership will become minut, heretical. And therefore, ein tochacha, no one will rebuke them. Beit vadi eliznut, the house assembly will become prostituted. V'hagalil yechav, and the galil will be destroyed. V'hagavlan yishom, and the border will become desolate. I always thought it meant the northern border. Maybe this week we understand it means the southern border. Hagalil Yechav Bagavlan Yishum. The southern border will be desert. We'll be attacked from all sides. V'anshei ha'gvul yisovavu mi'ir le'ir v'lo yichonanu. And the people living on the border will travel from city to city and will find no refuge. Maybe because everywhere they go, it's the same situation, the Seva Adom throughout the country. There's no refuge. It's not if you go to Tel Aviv, it's quiet, or to Yerushalayim, or... V'chokhmat sofrim tisrach. Wisdom will be despised. V'yirechet yimasu, and those that fear sin derided. V'ach emet tiyeh ne'ederet, and truth will be a rare commodity, ne'edar, like the ne'edarim. It'll be a lacking, a missing quality. Where does that come from? Listen to what we just described. There's resources, but we don't have to distribute it. There's chutzpah. There's a breakdown in society. There's a lack of welcoming others, because the people that go, who live on the border, who has been desolate, will now go from city to city and find no refuge. I mean, nobody lets them in. So we have a breakdown in our ability to communicate with each other, our ability to want to help others. Where does it come from? Continues the Mishnah. Na'arim penei zkenim yalbinu. Youth will embarrass their elders. Zkenim yamnu mipnei ktanim. And the old people will rise before the young people. I'll have to stand up. Young person comes in. Usually the opposite. Old person comes in, we stand up. Now here the young person comes in. Old people stand up. What do we have? A breakdown of hierarchy. A breakdown of authority. Why? Because the authority seems to have broken down. The Beit Vadi Yefoch LeMinut, the leaders will become prostituted, will become heretical, will become not leaders. And so no one looks to them as sort of figures of authority. And then he brings a pasuk from Micha ben Menavel Av, about Kama Be'ima, Kala Bechamota, Oivei Anshei Beito. A son will degrade a father, a daughter will rise against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, A man's enemies are his own household, his own children. They're the ones that, you know, tell him in his face what to do. The face of the generation is like the face of a dog. What does that mean? There's a lot of translations. But one possibility, I don't know if anybody here has a dog. So you take the dog for a walk, right? So I don't have a dog, so I'm an observer. I see, we'll call the dog Rover. Rover's in front. Who's leading who? Rover's leading. Rover's in front. Rover's in front. Guy's behind. So who's in front? What happens when we get, how do you know that's not true? That when you get to a junction, when we get to a place where we have to make a decision, the dog stops, looks back, and sees where its master wants to go, and then it continues. Penei hador means the leaders of the generation, the face of the generation. They stop leading. They lead. It looks like they're in front. But when they come to a crossroads, a place that they have to decide, then they look back and say, you know, maybe we'll take a poll. Maybe we'll look on what people are saying on the talkback. Maybe we'll listen to the, let's listen to what's going on, the skarim, and then we'll decide. In such a situation, ben kama ba'aviv, bat ba'ima, there's no respect. Because that leaders, those leaders of that generation do not require, do not demand, and do not deserve respect because they're not leading. They become corrupt. And one of the most telling observations is they don't even know how to distribute food. Their food is stockpiled in one place. They have no idea how to get it out to the people. They don't care. And the place in where the leaders don't care, the led don't care about the leaders. And so the description ties into each other. There's a breakdown of society that is the forerunner to Mashiach. Haben eino mitbeish ma'aviv. The son is not embarrassed of his father. He does whatever he wants, doesn't care what his father says. Val mi yeshanu lisha'en. And who can we rely on? El avinu shebashamayim. On our Father in heaven. What's the Mishnah telling us? I have a question. If this is Mashiach, do we want it or not? If it tells us that before the Mashiach comes, this is going to happen, sounds like a good idea or a bad idea? What? So maybe it describes society will completely collapse, destroyed, and like phoenix-like, a new society will arise. Possibly. One of the sages in the Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin, Yosef says, Yetivei velo achminei. Let it come, but I don't want to be there. It sounds really bad. Like it's a nice idea. Lo bishvili. So how can the Mishnah say that the Mashiach is going to be this terrible, terrible breakdown of society? There's a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. I didn't bring it in, just Mipata Makom. There's a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin in Daf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph says the following story. I'll just read it to you. They were sitting together in Rebbe's house, and there were some young kids there, and someone said, let's get the kids drunk and they'll teach us something. Okay. After they got drunk, they opened and said, Ein ben David ba ad sheyivalu shnei batim. Sorry, Shnei Batei Avot Misrael. Mashiach is only going to come when two households are destroyed in Israel. What are the two households? Elohein, Rosh Gola Sheba Bavel, V'Nasi Sheba Eretz Yisrael. The household of the leader in Bavel, the Resh Galuta, and the household of the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. And they bring a verse, V'Hayah L'Mikdash U'L'Evin Gofa L'Tzor Mikshol L'Shnei Batei Yisrael. Amar lahem, he said to them, "Benoi B'nai, kotzim atem matilim li b'nai. Kids, you're sticking sparks in my eyes. What are you telling me? That I'm going to be destroyed, Rebbe says to them. You're telling me that I'm going to see, I'm going to be destroyed until the whole time that I'm here, the Mashiach doesn't come? Amar le Rebbe Chia, Rebbe, al yirei b'einecha. Rebbe Chia said, Rebbe Chia and Rebbe had an interesting communication, an interesting relationship. We're not going to get into it now. But he said to him, Rebbe, al yirei b'einecha, don't think it's such a terrible thing. Yain nitan b'shevim otiyot. V'sod nitan b'shevim otiyot. Yain was given in 70 letters, meaning the gematria of Yain is 70. And sod, secret, is shivim. The gematria is 70. Nichnas yain, yetsa sod. When they drunk, suddenly they said what they really think. You know what they really think about you? You know what they really think about you? That the whole time you're here, the Mashiach's not going to come. There has to be a breakdown in society for Mashiach to come. We have to get rid of Reish Galut, and we have to get rid of Rebbe. That's terrible. Anybody here who considers themselves old should be horrified. You know, and old me and upwards, right? We should be horrified. Rav Kook, the Kohen Gadol of the Gula, the Mevaser, says this can't make sense. How could the Mishnah tell us that the breakdown of society will bring Mashiach? And Rav Kook in many, many places discusses the chutzpah, the ikvah, the Mashiach. We can look at two such cases. The first is taken from Orot HaTshuva. It's on this page. At the bottom, the English is on the back. Says Rav Kook, Achutz b'de'ikva de'mashicha ba'a mipnei sholam uchshar kvar ad kedei litvoa et ahavana ech kol ha'pratim im mekusharim im haklal. The chutzpah of the dawn of the Messianic era is caused because the world is ready to understand how all the component parts are connected with the collective. Or to put it in other words, how it all fits together. How are we all together? How do we become one people? What is the connection between a Jew in Yerushalayim and a Jew in Warsaw? How do we fit together? What does it mean that what I do affects others? What does it mean? There's a very famous Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim said that if a Jew closes his Gemara half an hour too early in Lithuania, in Vilna, a Jew in Paris will break Shabbat. Why? Because we're all one chaotic system. We're all connected together. What happens here when the butterfly flaps its wings in Africa, we have a tidal wave in the other side of the world. We're all connected, but how does that work out? Says Rav Kook, Ve'ein prat bilti mekusharim agodel haklali yahol laniach et hadat. And there's no way that a part that's disconnected with the greatness of collected will fit in. So that's not a bad thing. Why should that cause a breakdown of society? V'imaya ha'olam oseg ba'orech ba'ora shel Torah b'midah zo. שתתגדל הנשמה הרוחנית עד כדי הכרת הקשור הרוי של הפרטים הכללים הרוחניים. And if the world will deal with the light of Torah in such a way as to increase the spirit to an understanding of all the spiritual connection between parts and the collective, הייתה התשובה ותיקון העולם haba ita val yada mufia v'yatza lapoal. The resulting return and the mending of the world would be expressed in action. We would change the world. If we could explain how we all fit together, how it makes a difference what one person does, how it affects another person, how one person's actions can bring closer the Messianic era, and how Khalil another person's can make it further away. If we would explain that, that would be incredible tshuva, because we'd realize how we're all connected. How we're only really one being, like the Rabbeinu Bechaya's example of the guy who's digging under his seat in the boat, and all the other people in the boat say, "You're going to kill us." He says, "No, I'm only digging under my seat, not under your seat." And they explained, "Yeah, but if you go, we're together. We're all linked in Delby together." If we could explain that, we'd bring incredible tshuva, because we'd see how we're all linked, how we all really are brothers and sisters of each other. Says Rav Kook, aval. The aval is always terrible. But, however, kevan shitrashlut gamar she'ein Torah panimit, hata'un romamut v'kdusha atzmit lo hofir bolam kera'uy. Laziness has caused that the light of the inner Torah that needs elevation and sanctity has not been revealed as it should have. Therefore, ba hatvi'ah shel sidur chayim ke'ele shapratim yu muvanim b'muvan haklal bizman kaze shehagemar shegiloy ha'or v'slilat hader lachana zo adayin lo ba. However, this laziness has caused that there is a demand to arrange the world in such a way that the individuals be understood in relation to the collective, at a time when the basis for this understanding is not ready. What's Rav Kook talking about? He's seeing what's going on in Europe 100 years ago. 120 years ago. The beginning of awakening of a sense of being a people. Exactly celebrating or commemorating 100 years since the beginning of the First World War this week. A friend told me that his grandfather in the First World War was fighting on the side of the Germans. He was a Jew, but he was a German. Or he was a German, but he was a Jew. Have we explained it? And he was fighting against the Russians, and there in that army, they're also Jews. And at one point he says, "What am I doing? I'm fighting against my brothers. They happen to be born in Russia. I happen to be born in Germany. But I have more of a connection with the Jew on the other side of the trench than I do with anybody on this side." He put his gun down, left, and came to Eretz Israel. That's what Rav Kook's talking about. How do we fit together? What does it mean to be amichat? What does it mean to be connected? And if we would understand the depth of understanding, not to see the superficial, but to be able to see the depth of understanding, we'd understand how we're really all connected together. You know, in my, my real life, I deal with a lot with fertility and genetics. And a geneticist told me recently, you know, that we're all different, right? I look around. You can't see each other. I can see all of you. You all look different. Even some of your family here, I'm guessing, because you're similar. But you still look different, right? So even, you know, even brothers and siblings, they all look different. The amount of our genetic makeup which makes us different is infinitesimally smaller than the amount that makes us the same. 99.99% of all of the genes of us and everybody else in this world is exactly the same. The diversity comes from an incredibly small amount of our genes. That's what makes us different. You know what, in truth? We're all the same. El echad lanu, av echad lanu, as it says in the Navi. We all have one God, one Father. We're all connected. Kal v'chomer, we're speaking about the Jewish people, that we think we have a common gene strand. It's not so clear that we do, but we think that we do. But we don't look at it that way. We're taught superficially. We don't spend the Torah world has not invested time into thinking about how it fits together. And so these young pioneers are coming up. They're going through yeshivot, because that was the only place that a Jew could learn higher education, was in yeshivot. So if you went to Vilozhin at the time of Rav Kook in the late 19th century, you would have shared a room with a Jew who probably was not religious and probably would end up being a pioneer, because that's what happened. That's what happened out of Vilozhin. But who was studying in yeshiva, and he was exposed to these people. He said, "Wow, they have this great question that nobody ever asked for 2,000 years. How do we link together? What does it mean to be a Jewish people? And if we are a Jewish people, where must the Jewish people be living? We can't be a Jewish people living in Uganda. We can't be a Jewish people living in Warsaw. We have to be a Jewish people living in Eretz Israel. We can't be in Meknes and Sana and Australia. We have to be here. And so this awakening started, and yet the rabbis, the leaders, the Beit Malchut wasn't ready for that. Because as Rav Kook said, they hadn't spent time investing in the Pnimiut of Torah, the depths of Torah, not just the Gemara, but the depths of what was happening. And you know, and to change, we need to have a feeling that there's a process. Just to continue doing what we did yesterday isn't going to change. Mashiach is a change. How do the children say in the Gemara in Sanhedrin? You know when Mashiach is going to come? When Ben David is going to come? When Resh Galuta and Rebbe die. When we get rid of that old guard who just wants to continue. What's Resh Galuta's only interest? To continue being Babylonian. And to make sure that, you know, the Babylonians will sort of not attack us too much. What did Rebbe want? Just to survive under the Romans. The whole time that that's your desire, we're never going to get to Mashiach. We're never going to push forward. But to get there, we need to rebel. To get there, we need to change. We need to want to understand something deeper. Do you have an answer for us? And the leaders sheepishly had to say, no, we don't, because we never thought about it before. We never discussed that. And so there's a breakdown in society. Umizeh, says Rav Kook, ba harisa hanora'ah. And from this comes the horrendous destruction. Because if I don't get an answer, and the people in authority don't really understand what it is I'm asking, then why should I listen to them? What did the Mishnah describe? Chochmat sofrim tisrach. Wisdom became meaningless, became despised. Yerechet, those who fear sin, became despised. And truth became, we said, ne'ederit. What is ne'ederit? We describe it as a rare commodity. There's another way of describing emet, ne'ederit. Ne'ederit could come from the word eder. Eder means a flock, a group. What happened to truth? It became sectorial. My group has a truth, which isn't your truth. And you have a truth, and you have a truth, and you have a truth. But we don't see the groups, the crews together. Emet becomes fragmented because we don't understand how we fit together. And from that, says Rav Kook, comes the great destruction. In order to overcome this, we have to use the higher remedy. What's the higher remedy? That's adding spiritual strength. עד אשר הדרך איך להבין ולשאר את הקישור של כל ענייני הדעות ומעשים התורים עם הכלל היותר עליון. יהיה דבר מוכן ומוצע בדרך ישרה על פי הרגשות נפשות השכיחות. And so we find a way to understand and estimate the connection of all the Torah opinions and actions with the highest collective. How do all those little truths come together? Which will be present and available in a straight path according to the feelings of the common souls. It'll be that everybody can understand. How do we fit together? When we came to Moshe in the time of the spies and we pushed in and didn't listen to the elders, Moshe says that's when the problems began. And it continues till Igvede Mashiach. Igvede Mashiach, there'll still be a breakdown of society. But Rav Kook says, but there's a solution. The solution is to go deeper. To understand the depths of what's really being asked. To understand the depths of the desire of the young people who are asking, how do we fit together? And you know what? They have a really good question. We don't have a good answer. And therefore, it's our obligation not to say your question's bad, but to go and find a good answer. Because the answer exists in Torah. The answer of how we all fit together exists. We have to find it. We can't give up and say there's no answer. I'm sorry. How do we listen to questions? I had a friend who was in yeshiva here in Israel and in a high school. And he came to two teachers with a question on the Gemara. And one of them said, oh, that's a really easy question. That's already written in Rashi. And he went to another teacher with the same question. And the teacher said, oh, that's a really great question. You know who asked that question? Rashi. Let's learn the Rashi together. Same answer, but a completely different emphasis. Do we think the questions are problematic? Are the questions bothersome to us? Or are we able to understand what's really being asked? The Ikva de Mashiach is a time of change. The Ikva de Mashiach is a time of rebellion. The Ikva de Mashiach is a time of transition. And for many, that's painful. Change and transition and are difficult things. We'd like to just continue the same. But we are demanded, unless we want to live through an era of destruction, the demand from us is to understand the question. Rav Kook says in another place, we're going to see one other source on that same idea. In Orot HaTorah, a small book that Rav Kook writes about Torah, Limud Torah, what it is, essence. He says the following. Belochutz v'de'ikva d'meshicha lo haya esha leva'er azei Torah begilui gamur. Without the chutzpah of the Messianic era, it would be impossible to explain the secrets of Torah, i.e. the Kabbalah, in a revealed way. Not only is the chutzpah an unnecessary evil, but it's essential. Without chutzpah, we couldn't go anywhere. רק על ידי התאבות הרגשות של ידי החוצפה יהיה אפשר לקבל הערות שכליות עליונות מאוד. וסוף סוף הכל ישוב לתיקון גמור. Only through the density of feeling that results in this chutzpah, it will be possible to receive deep, intelligent understanding. And in the end, all will return to mend the world. But without that awakening, we're just going to continue the same. You have a little kid, they're born. They are the center of their own world. Then they realize there's other people in the world. Parents. Siblings. Let's concentrate on parents. And they think that their parents are wonderful. Because their parents give them food and drink and stuff, whatever it is. And then there comes a time where suddenly they don't think that anymore. Where suddenly they rebel against their parents. They don't want to be like their parents. Every single child says at some point in their life, we've all said this as well, I'm going to hazard a guess, I am never going to be like my parents. Have bad news for anybody that says that. When I stand up in front of you and I speak, it happens to me every time I speak, I hear my father speaking. I say, when did Dad come in the room? All will come to an end. But we need to have that rebellion. Why? Because that's how we establish our own identity. We establish our identity by rebelling against what happened before. That's what says Rav Kook, and therefore, in order to move things forward, we need to have rebellion, not just as individuals, but as a nation. The Jewish people were in exile for 2,000 years and we remained the same. There's a famous story of the guy, you know, Revolver, who meets his friend in the shtetl, and he says, Reb Chaimke, how are you doing? He says, Baruch Hashem, what's new? I got a new job. Oh, Reb Chaimke, what's your new job? Asked Velvel. He says, I have a job, the whole town pays me, to sit on that tall mountain next to the shtetl and look for the Mashiach. Wait for the Mashiach to come. So he says to him, oh, is it a good job? He says, the pay's not so good, but it's a steady job. Going to be forever. For 2,000 years, that's what we thought. For 2,000 years, the temple was something far, far away. But you know what? In our generation, we can walk there. In our generation, it's become a reality to come to Israel, to feel a messianic further, to feel that there's something moving in this country. To feel that being here isn't just a geographical move, but it's something that connects us in a different mode, in a different spirit, in a different mindset. Said Rav Kook, without that rebellion, without those kids in Vilojin, without the Bundes, without the awakening, without this sense of a fight of who are we and what does it mean to be a people, we would never be here. So Be'ikvot the Mashiach, there's going to be a breakdown, not because the breakdown is where we're going to end, but as the kid said, Nichnas Yayin Yotzei Sod, that's the secret. Rebbe, you're not going to bring us to the Mashiach, and neither is Resh Galuta. When you are erased, on that we will build a new society. The last nevuah of the Torah, of the Tanakh, sorry. The last nevuah in which the Tanakh is sealed is the following words from the book of Micha. Sorry, from Malachi. Malachi. Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi Asher Tziviti Oto Bechorev Al Kol Yisrael Chukim U'Mishpatim. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, who I commanded in Chorev to all of Israel, the statutes and the judgments. Hine anochi sholeach lachem et Eliyah hanavi lifnei bo yom Hashem agadol v'hanora. Behold, I send you Eliyah the prophet before the day of God, the great and the awesome. והשיב לב אבות על בנים ולב בנים על אבותם פנבו והקיתי קיתי את הארץ חרם. And he will return the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their father, lest I come and smite the land with a cherem. But cherem, I translate it as curse, it's not true. Cherem means an embargo. Cherem. BDS. Cherem. That's the last nevuah of the Torah, of the Tanakh. That's it. With that, the Tanakh's finished. And nevi'i ketuvim. Says the Malbim. Malbim is Reb Meir Levush. He's like the Rashi on the Tanakh. He has also commentary on the Torah, which isn't very popular, but he's like the Perush on the Tanakh. He's not so long ago. I have in my house a Malbim Shlita, meaning he was still alive. So it's not so long ago. It's 100 or so, 150 years ago, he was alive. But during his lifetime, it became a classic. The Malbim himself, an interesting story of his own life. But really, during his lifetime, it became a classic. So on this verse, he says the following. Zichru Torat Moshe. Ba'asher bidvarav eile chatam anavi. Since with these words, the prophet closed. V'hi anavuah achona shachav lo yinabe od navi v'choze ad eit ketz. And this is the last prophecy that afterwards no prophet will prophesy and see until the end of time. This is it. The nevuah is finished. Can you imagine? You get a job. Hashem says, you're going to be a prophet. Okay. You're going to be the last prophet. You're going to say the last line of the Navi. Wow. Can you imagine what Malachi felt? This is it. This is what we're going to remember from Navi, the last line, and then it was. How does it say, you know, in kids' books? And I woke up and it was all a dream. Ah. And what's he going to say that's going to be astounding? Therefore, he says, Hodi elehem shemi'ata lo yikavu od lasig devar Hashem benevuah. He announced from them that from now on they cannot hope to reveal God's word through prophecy. What is he telling them? It's a terrible thing. There's no more prophecy. Now, that doesn't mean too much to us. But in the time of the Nevi'im, that meant a lot. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah, some of you learning Daf Yomi, you've got to it, or you're about to get to it, I think you already got to it, says that there were twice as many prophets as people who came out of Egypt. So let's take that on the bare minimum, on its face value. There are 1,200,000 prophets. How many years of prophecy were there? 1,000 years. There's 1,000 years of prophecy. So there's, every year, thousands of prophets. Shaul wants to find his donkey. He doesn't go to the lost and found in Eged. He goes to ask a prophet. The prophets were the connection with God. We'll speak about it more next year, either here or in the Beit HaMikdash, to understand what does prophecy mean. But for them, that was terrible. He's saying, this is it. That's like saying, from now on, there's no, I don't know. We're going to, unfortunately, I don't know if you heard, but we're going to close down the internet. You say, oh my gosh, how am I going to, what am I going to, how am I going to do? He said, we're going to close down Nevuah. It's essentially the same thing. That's your connection to wisdom. So what did he say? Can you imagine what that means? Rak yizkeru Torat Moshe la'asot kol ha'katuv ba v'hi toram at asher ya'asu. And therefore they should remember the Torah of Moshe to do what's written them, and it will guide them what they should do. You don't need prophets anymore. At least, zichu Torat Moshe. You have the Torah of Moshe. That'll be our new prophecy. We'll say there's no more internet, but that these things called the books, you open them and inside there are words, and you have to open them, and there you'll find that information. Ah, zichu Torat Moshe. Veheishiv, and he will return. Hu yashiv et kol olam b'tshuva. Eliyahu HaNavi will make tshuva for the world. Ad shebanim sheudchu mitorat avotahem yashiv lev habanim al avotam. Until he will, and the sons who were pushed off from Torah, their fathers will return. He will return the hearts of the children to their fathers, to return to the religion. Lachzor ledat v'torat avotam, the Torah of their fathers. V'al ken yashiv lev avot al banim. He will therefore bring the heart of the fathers to the children. It will happen. Eliyahu HaNavi will come. There'll be great tshuva. And then the children will come back to the Torah of their fathers. And because the fathers then realize that now their kids are religious again, they'll like them again. That's what it says. So yeah, fair. That's a perush. Anybody with a perush? We're going to suggest a slightly different perush. And to understand that, I want to look a little deeper in those psukim that we just read before for Malachi. Let's read them again. זכרו תורות משה עבדי אשר ציוויתי אותם בחורב וכל ישראל חוקים ומשפטים. Who was commanded with the חוקים and משפטים? Who was commanded, it just said? Moshe Rabbeinu commanded who? כל ישראל. כל ישראל. What does that remind us of? כולכם. Interesting, huh? Torah was given and ends בכל, with connection with everybody. It was good. Hine anochi. How are we going to get that everybody's going to have it? How are we going to get to the point that everybody's going to have Torah? Means Torah is going to have access to, everybody's going to have access to Torah. Everybody. Kol Yisrael. And that makes sense in the Malbim's explanation. If we're saying, you know what, there's no more Nevuah. There's no more God telling us what to do. We're going to have to somehow work it out for ourselves. So Torah has got to be accessible to every single person. Kol Yisrael. How are we going to get to that? Hine anochi shalech lachem. Et Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu, Elijah the prophet, lifnei bo yom Hashem ha-gadol v'anora, before the day of God, the great and the awesome. The great and the awesome is goes on which subject there? God or the day? The day is big or the... When do we read this haftarah? Anybody remember? Shabbat HaGadol. What are we saying? What's Gadol? The Shabbat. The Shabbat is great. The day is great. Is God great or the day great? I like that as a question. You think about it afterwards. And what will he do? What will Eliyahu HaNavi do? Veheshiv lev avot al banim. He will return. What does lev avot mean literally? No. Let's be exact. What? Heart of the fathers. Heart is in singular. It's very important, this verse. Let's notice it. And fathers is in plural. So there's a lot of fathers, one heart. Lev avot al banim. And I'm going to translate in a moment what lev avot is. I like your translation. On the children. Velev banim. What does that mean? Heart of the children. Al avotam. What does avotam mean? What? Not avotehem. Avotam is their father. One father. Wow, this is a complex sentence. Penavo vekite ad aretz cherem. So let's bonit fos rosh for a second. Heshiv lev avot al banim. There's lots of fathers, but only one heart. And they're going to connect to the children. Velev banim, one heart, a lot of children, al avotam, to their father. One father. Who's the father? Avihim, avotam. The father in heaven. Wait, so what's going on here? What will Eliyahu Navi do? You know what Eliyahu Navi is going to do? Rav Kook writes about it later. We didn't have the space to put it in the as a source. He's going to show it. What's your mouth? Family therapist. A good one. Yeah, a good one. He's going to show how it all fits together. He's going to show how everybody has a place. That's what he's going to do. It's very simple. Not everybody, not every Jew. Everybody. He's going to show, therefore, the lion and the tiger won't be afraid to be with the, you know, the what is it, with the goat and the wolf. How does the lamb will down lie down with the lion? How do my what? Well, the wolf with the wolf. With the wolf. The lion will lie. The lamb will lie down with the wolf. How did that famous American philosopher Woody Allen once said? I like to bring him in. He said that the lamb will lie down with the wolf, but the lamb won't get much sleep. How will it fit together? So that's what he's going to have to do. It's going to fit everybody together. And when we fit together, we don't fight each other. Why do we fight each other? Because we don't fit together. But if we'd understand your place and your place and your place and their place and their place, we wouldn't fit it. We wouldn't fight. Heshiv lev avot al banim. Lev banim al avotam. Story is told of Cook's father, of Shlomo Zalman Cook, was once in a synagogue in Europe. And as in many synagogues, it had on the wall a pasuk was painted on the wall. And the pasuk said the following, and it was written the following. Hine anochi sholech lachem et Eliyahu Navi lifnei bo yom Hashem ha-gadol v'anora ve'heshiv lev banim al avotam. That was what they wrote. Hine anochi sholech lachem et Eliyahu Navi lifnei bo yom Hashem ha-gadol v'anora ve'heshiv lev banim al avotam. And he's going to bring back the hearts of the father, the children, to their father, to God. So Shlomo Zalman Cook says to the Gabbai, you're missing out half a pasuk. Veheshiv lev abot al banim velev banim al avotam is what it says. To which the Gabbai answers, the problem is with the children. If the children would listen, would come back to God, then all the problems would be solved. To which Shlomo Zalman Cook said to him, that's not what the verse says. Veheshiv lev avot al banim, and only then lev banim al avotam. B'michila from the Malbim, that's the opposite of what he translated, and you'll look it inside. It starts with the parents, our ability to hear our children. Go back to what you said. And as you said, lasim lev. Heshiv lev avot. Lev doesn't only mean our heart, but our ability to pay attention. Our ability to really hear what's going on. Our ability to really hear the true question. And the problem is that we get tied up with the externals, what it looks like. And that we have this great ability to judge each other based on our externals and on who we really are. Can we really have that we can pay attention to how banim? The word banim, in the past 2 months, in the past 6 weeks in Eretz Israel, has taken on a completely different meaning. We have an incredible set of banim, of children, who are doing incredible things to change his country. They don't always look the right part. They don't always follow what we think should be happening. But lev banim al avotam. Abanim, bring back our boys, we prayed. Those three boys changed the world to show that there's a different way, that we can do better, that we don't have to just continue, but we can volunteer. We can be at the forefront. We can introspect. We can try to become better people. And the Banim were followed by almost another 67 Banim who laid down their lives to change and better our world. Banim who didn't always look the part. Some of them are Banim of families. Some of them started religious and ended up their lives not looking the religious part, yet with an incredible, incredible force, incredible power of wanting to do the right thing. I was once waiting for a tramp, for a hitchhike in Yerushalayim. A guy comes along, this old banged up car. So a few other people waiting at the trampiada, at the hitching. And he points at me and says, "Atata, Bobo." Okay. Gets him in the car and he says, "The Jewish people like your sort of, you know, atem. Like we're all together, atem, you know. Lohem, atem, atem." Tells me that he has a catering hall. And he says that he loves to employ children of a tzibur shelanu, you know, the tzibur, religious Zionist. Kipas Suga, for want of a better word. He says they're honest, they're helpful. That's what we should be having. So I don't want him to up one me, right? So I said to him, "Ah, ataloy de klum," I said to him. I thought telling about my children. Lola Vayeshota, my kids are here, so I have to be careful what I say. Well, you know, somebody told me that neighbor of mine, that he once took three girls in a tramp, in a hitchhike. He took them from Modin to wherever they were going. And he said, what were they discussing in the car? What do you know, three girls, 8, 17, 18, what are they discussing? You think boys, music, you know what they're discussing? Clothes. They were discussing among them, arguing among them, where could they go to do Shirut Lumi that would be the most contribution to the Jewish people? They're arguing among them who would be the greatest contribution. I tell this guy, this is the kids who go and volunteer. I had a daughter hasn't been home so much in the past 2 weeks. She's been in Be'er Sheva and in Ashdod and Ashkelon. She's not around. We know that she's somewhere dangerous. I have a son who contributes to, who goes to volunteer in Shalva with children who are with a range of disabilities, spends hours and hours there. He's never home for Shabbat, because if he's at Shabbat, not in Yeshiva, he's in Shalva. And when he's not Shalva, he's going and he volunteers in Bnei Akiva. One of the madrichim was a boy called Gilad Shaya. They opened a sniff in a irreligious settlement, not too far from us, that they should have some Yiddishkeit. This is our kids. This is our banim. This is our generation. That we've been zocher, we've been merited to raise in this country. And after half an hour of the journey, I said to him, "You know, you're like Yitro." I said, "Yeah, I'm like Yitro." I said, "Yeah." Yitro comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says to him, "No, what's going on?" And Moshe says, "Ah, you don't know what incredible miracles we've been having, how God split us the sea, and he brought us the man, and he did these incredible things." Moshe knew that there were other bad things going on. But when someone comes to ask you, tell me the good stuff, there's always good stuff to tell. Yeshiv lev banim al avotam, we're already far from there. Etchil nori al avotam. We have a zchut to see an incredible, incredible generation being raised in this country. I was at the levaya of the three banim. I was at the funeral. There were 120, 130,000 people crammed into an area that just can't hold that many people. Most of them, I don't know what percentage, but I'm going to say 80, 90% were kids. Represented from all of the education institutions that I know of in this country and more. Standing there in silence, with respect, with honor, with a sense of loss, but also with a sense of determination to do more, to use these tragedies to propel them to do more. Veshiv lev banim al avotam. Eliyahu HaNavi is already here. Now we have to do our part. Zichru Torat Moshe, says Malachi. You know, remember what it says in Moshe's Torah. Asher tziviti oto b'chorev al kol Yisrael chukim u'mishpatim. All of the Jewish people are connected. All of them have a part. Those that look the part and those that don't look the part. They're all connected. They're all there. U'kivu alai kulchem. I have a tikkun. I have a rectification of what happened when you sent in the spies. Zichru Torat Moshe. Remember Moshe's Torah. How will we do that? Veheishiv lev avot al banim. There, when you sent the spies, kulchem, you all pushed each other. You didn't respect authority. Maybe the authority is sometimes to blame for that as well. Maybe us, the older generation, the parents, don't have enough respect. And therefore, we are pushed out of the way. Like the children said to Rebbe, when you go, the Mashiach will come. Veshiv lev avot al banim. We have to listen to the banim. The Megillav Eicha. Well, what's the most terrible, damaging, horrible image that Eicha brings? It's actually repeated in the Kinot. What do you think? No question, right? Mother eating children is the worst thing. What's the idea? That breakdown of society. That sense of mothers who have such Rachmanut, such mercy on the children, stopped having mercy on them. But if you look a little closer in Eichal, you'll notice that there's also a breakdown of Skenim and Narim, and there's also a sense of Galut has caused us that inability to have hierarchy, to understand how to fit together. Veishiv lev avot al banim, velev banim al avotam. Eliyahu HaNavi will teach us how to listen to our children, how to listen to our young people, how to understand what it is they're asking, what it is that they want, but to understand the incredible, incredible force that they have, the incredible power that they have, the incredible ability they have to move things forward and to make them better. Eliyahu HaNavi, we read on Parshat Pinchas, says to God, you know, I'm kanok aniti, I'm done with these people. They don't listen to you, they don't want you. I'm out of me, I'm done. And God says to him, you know what? You're not going to die. You're going to live forever. That sounds like a good idea, right? Great, I'm not going to live forever. Good. But it's actually a curse. And Eliyahu HaNavi is cursed by coming, by having to be around the whole time. And he comes to two events in our lives. What are the two events that Eliyahu HaNavi comes to? Brit Milah and Leil HaSeder. Brit Milah is when we convey onto our children the responsibility of going in God's way. You know, who asked the kid if he wants to have a Brit Milah? But it's his mitzvah. Who asked him? Nobody. So you know who asked him? Hey, if the father had a brit milah done to him, and he does that to his children, and he's really saying retroactively, I agree, 20, 30, 40 years later, that what was done to me, I agree, that's how we continue. Brit milah is a conveying the responsibility to the next generation. That's what Eliyahu HaNavi will do. Veishiv leiv avot al banim, veleiv banim al avotam. It's an amazing thing, you know, almost 95%+ of Jews in Israel do brit milah. It's like one of the mitzvot that's so widely done. Eliyahu HaNavi comes, God says to him, you see, you thought of people so bad, not so bad. What else does he come to? Leil HaSeder. What happens to Leil HaSeder? Leil HaSeder? He gets drunk. Yeah, it's pretty bad. What happens to Leil HaSeder? Family gets together. What did Paro want to do? He wanted to kill the Banim. What does Leil HaSeder do? Tell your children the story. Pass on the legacy. That's what Eliyahu HaNavi does. 80% of Jews in Eretz Israel have a Seder. Some form or another. Hine anochi sholech lachem et Eliyahu HaNavi lifnei bo yom Hashem ha-gadol v'hanora. You know what it'll teach us to do? Ve'shiv lev avot al banim. He'll teach us how to listen to the heart of our children, to their collective heart as a no'ar, their collective heart as youth. And then, when we listen to them, when we open our heart to them, when we're able to understand what it is that they want, what it is that they're demanding, why they can't survive in the house of Reish Galuta and Rebbe, but what they want is something better, then we will able to direct them, belev banim al avotam, the children back to their father. Tisha B'Av started when there was no respect between generations. The Beit HaMikdash will be built when we start respecting the generations. But not like those mistaken congregants who Rav Shlomo Zalman Cook met, who thought that must start with the children. We understand from the Mishnah in Masechet Sotah that it actually must start with the parents, with the older generation. When we're able to respect and understand the incredible force of our children, of our banim in this country and in this generation, then Eliyahu HaNavi will appear, will bring us back together, and will return them banim al avotam. Back to the heart, their heart will return back to Avinu Sheba Shemaim. If we can do that this year, we can understand this incredible movement that's starting in Eretz Yisrael, these incredible times that we live in, then Bezrat Hashem, next year, we will celebrate Mishpachot Mishpachot, Banim Ve'avot, Imahot Ubanot, that will celebrate together families, parents and children and grandparents and great-grandparents together with their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We will celebrate together Kol Yisrael. When the Torah was given, then V'tikavun Elai Kol Roshei Shifteichem V'ziknechem, the leaders were able to convey to the children, to the next generation, what it is that God wanted. When Malachi comes, the parents listen to the children. What does God want? Lest he kate the aretz cherem. If we do not listen to the children, if we do not understand and are able to have a depth of vision, then the land will be cursed. But if we're able to have that depth of vision, if we're able to listen to exactly what it is they're saying, to understand that incredible force and power and life that they have, then the land will not be cursed, but the opposite. The land will be blessed, and we, Bezrat Hashem, will be blessed together with it. Thank you very much.
Twice already.
not apparent. At the end of that's right. If you don't do it, no.
Hi. If I can have everybody's attention, the traditional minyan will be taking place here at 1:30. If I could ask you to please turn your chairs around to face the Aron Kodesh.
Rashi is a parshan. He's not a translator. He's saying, I'm not saying this translation. I'm explaining to you, I want to say, you could say forced or not. And that's a question, how do we learn Rashi? But Rashi's saying, you know what, look, there's a book, what's bothering Rashi? Another book. So what's bothering Rashi? This sounds like a good idea. And he has to say, you know what's bad about it? Kulchem, you were coming together. By
instead
Bubi.
Of saying that. Instead of saying what's bad about it is you came together and didn't respect your elders, I think that's pretty far-fetched. He could have said it was a good idea.
But it
turned out wrong again because they came back with a bad report.
Your perush isn't wrong, but that's not what Rashi says. So my question isn't who's right or wrong. What's the pshat of the pasuk? You're right, that's not Rashi. But Rashi says that. I mean, Rashi says that he knew that he could have translated differently. It's not a chiddush for him that he could have meant that it's not a pshat of the pasuk. But Rashi said that, I think, because he wants to say this message of himself. Kulchem, this idea, that's the beginning of the end. And I agree 100% to Zerom HaKayeg, the pasuk. It's not Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra said that, then I'd be worried.
Yeah.
But if Rashi says it, I don't know why Rashi's in Parashan. That's okay.
Rashi bothers me a lot.
Okay, we have to have Shurim to explain why he says that.
Yeah.
So you heard some of it before, and you're so good. I think we're going to go. I think the kids want to go.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. I was going to offer it.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much.
At the end of his life, it's weird.
Okay.
This is
part of the